Yeah. Even me.
Hi, and we're back for a whole new season of Animorphs, the radio drama.
Uncensored.
I'm Matthew Tung. This is Kyle Meckling over here.
Hey, hi. How's it going?
CJ is at Mass right now.
We're back on Sunday, so we're back to that fun.
But it's okay, we replaced him permanently.
Yes.
And,
permanently?
Yeah.
Oh, I think permanently.
Awesome.
Yeah. This is Laura. Laura, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hello, my name's Laura. I don't know about this whole Animorphs thing, but I got a call last night that said, hey, do you want to help us? And I said, okay. So here I am. We'll see what happens.
Way to save the day. All right, you're listening to kdp.up.edu. You can call us tonight at 503-943-7121, or if you're on campus with a phone of your own, extension 7121.
Wow, it's been a while.
It's been a while, yeah. I was actually just reading off the board because I couldn't remember.
Let's see. Office line is 7284, or extension 7284 if you're on campus, or 503-943-7284 if you're off campus. You can email us at animorph_radio@yahoo.com.
What else?
Check out our Facebook site, Animorphs the Radio Drama. No uncensored. I know you want to say it.
Yeah.
Oh, and our website, animorphs-uncensored.com.
Which is awesome, because I updated it up to the, like, second-to-last show, because I still haven't found our last show. I hope we still have it. Anyway. We had a lot of feedback on our Facebook group when we chose to do Animorphs number 9. Instead of Megamorphs number 1. Because
I think it was 8, actually.
Wait, no. No.
Yeah, because it goes right Stranger, and then in 8 they make reference to...
Are you sure?
I'll check. Yeah, it's Stranger, because it only goes to Stranger in the front page.
All right, well, so. We still got yelled at. And,
a lot.
We're planning on doing that. Originally, we had some plans for Megamorphs, but then school started. And so that's one of the reasons why Laura's here. She was going to be one of our voice actresses. So she's here to fulfill that douchey. Anyway, so we're going to be reading Megamorphs number 1 by K.A. Applegate, The Andalite's Gift. So I hope you all enjoy it. And when CJ shows up, he'll come in and think that we haven't done anything. And so he'll start yelling and we'll be like, great, CJ's here. And you'll laugh. Maybe. We'll find out. Anyway. So, I think we're good to go. If you want to... what are we doing? Narration? Narration?
Why don't we start off with Jake. One of us doing narration, and then I don't know if...
Oh, for those who don't know these books, which could be many since we're now streaming through the Cove, if that's working, we have no idea if it is. So if you're in the Cove and you can hear us and you have a cell phone, call us at 503-943-7121.
503-943-7121.
Basically what we're going to be doing, for those who are just joining us this season, what we do is we read these children's books called Animorphs. Great series that most people read, or they read Goosebumps. Sorry, folks, for those who read Goosebumps, this is all new to you. But basically, we read through it, and we laugh at all the things that we didn't understand as children, and learn a couple of new things, too. So, should be cool.
Wow. Why do you keep getting phone calls, Kyle?
Because I am so popular.
Ow.
You're popular, too. You just turned off your cell phone because you respect the studio.
It's on.
Oh. Backfire. All right, let's do this. All right, so we're starting off right with Matt saying chapter one.
Chapter one.
Jake. My name is Jake. Just Jake. No last name. Or at least no last name I can tell you. I am an animorph. I guess that makes me one of the most hunted, endangered species on Earth. The Yerks want me dead. They want my friends dead. So if they knew who I was and how to find me, I wouldn't have a chance. That's why I won't tell you my last name. And I won't tell you what city or state I live in, because I want to go on living. I want to go on living so I can go on fighting them. Are you one of those people who looks up at the night sky and wonders whether there is life out there among the stars?
Do you keep getting text messages or what?
No. See, I keep ignoring cell phone calls. I swear.
Okay. I'll be your secretary. I can answer them for you.
Cool, here.
Sweet.
That's why. Are you one of those people who looks up at the night sky and wonders whether there is life out there among the stars? Do you wonder about the UFOs? Do you wonder whether aliens will ever come to Earth? Well, the answer is no. Oh, wait, no. Well, stop wondering. The Yerks are here. They're a species of parasites, just like slugs, really. Little slugs that crawl inside your head and wrap themselves around your brain and make you do whatever they want you to do. When that happens, you stop being a true human being. You become a controller. That's what we call a human who is under the control of a Yerk. When you talk to a controller, you may be looking at a human face. You may hear a human voice, but what you're really talking to is a Yerk. And they are everywhere. If you think if you think you haven't seen one, you're wrong. The policeman in his patrol car, the clerk at the grocery store, your teacher, your pastor, your doctor, any of them might be a controller. Your mother, father, sister, or best friend, they could all be controllers. I know, my brother Tom is one of them. They have taken my brother from me and made him an enemy. I sit at the breakfast table every morning and make small talk, knowing all the while that Tom is not Tom anymore. And they have taken my best friend's mother. Everyone thinks Marco's mother is dead. Only he and I know the truth. She too is one of them. Wow, they love the hyphenated them. I've noticed that in this book.
Pretty sure that's italicized.
That's what I said, hyphenated. They're everywhere. They can be anyone. They tear lives apart. They do unspeakable things, and we stand against them alone. Only we know the threat. We six. Five Animorphs and one Andalite. Five human kids with the power to become any animal we can touch. And a kid from another planet who looks like some weird mix of a deer, human, and scorpion. The six of us against all the might of the Yerks and all the evil genius of their leader, Visser III. I love how they think of him as an evil genius, yet six kids can defeat him over nine books so far. Way to go.
Usually it was just five over those nine, too.
You know, honestly, I like to think that if it was me against the Animorphs, I'd win, but that's because I'm an arrogant fool.
Well, and you're not stupid.
Right. Okay, where were we? I actually went on that digression because I lost my place. But you guys don't need to know that.
Seriously, Kyle, you give me your phone and it stops ringing.
Yeah.
That's how unpopular
Here,
I am.
Give it back.
Alright.
Alright. Which is why Rachel was worried about leaving, even for a weekend. We were all together that Friday evening. Marco, Cassie, Tobias, Rachel, and me.
Hi, everyone!
Oh, dear.
Oh, jeez. And CJ enters the studio.
Ta-da!
It was like magic. You're weird.
Bad magic.
How was Mass?
Mass was good.
Was it better than Animorphs?
Mass kicked,
aft.
Awesomeness.
Aft.
Whoa.
For those of you who aren't in the studio, we have a lovely list of words that you cannot say on air.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, they've actually defined them?
Yeah.
So, these are the words.
Yeah.
Except we can say hell woo is like written in big bold letters.
I think that might have been an addition by dude, it's ringing again. Anyway, I think that might have been addition by a DJ and not by staff. So,
wait, why would we want to tell CJ to leave? He's an integral part of the studio. Nobody. It's not important.
Not important.
I've learned how to text message.
Do we have
also
we have access to the microphone?
Tell him he sucks.
Hey, go away.
Are you one of those people that talks
Welcome
while they type?
Welcome to the Hotel California. Sorry, it was stuck in my head.
You just came from Mass and that's stuck in your head?
I don't know, it was between there. A lot of things go through it.
Okay, I believe it.
CJ,
you
and I are going to have to share a mic, I'm afraid.
For a bit.
Again.
A bit.
Okay, wait, where were we? Anyway.
Well, I think I'll use swear word number 5. Boop.
Boop.
Yeah.
How inappropriate.
I know.
Anyway,
I can't do that. We
basically
the radio drama uncensored.
We basically started without you. I'm 3 pages in. If you want to stare over someone's shoulder, don't do that. Don't be that guy.
Yes.
We're text message 4 now.
Who is text messaging you?
It's not important.
Yes,
gotta,
it is. It's very important.
I gotta continue.
This is like the Phantom text messenger.
No, it's honestly.
He's gone technical.
No, it's way
or
cooler.
She.
See, I'm texting myself so that you're jealous. With my mind. We were all together that Friday
that
evening. Mark.
I got a text message too. You see that?
No. No. No, I didn't see that at all. We were all together that Friday evening. Marco, Cassie, Tobias, Rachel, and me. Axe wasn't there because he would have had to change into his human morph. He doesn't like to become human. I think he feels naked without his deadly tail.
And that would be
bad.
That and the fact that he doesn't wear clothes.
That's why the show is called Uncensored.
Woot. So it was just the 5 of us in Cassie's barn, surrounded by all the chattering, snuffling, chirping, preening, and smelly animals in their cages.
Kyle, before you go much further, could we do a mic check real quick? See
mic
which
check.
Is which, because I have no clue. All right, so I'm going to turn all but one off, and then everybody talk.
Nope.
Okay, go. Go.
Talking.
Okay, so that's mic
on. No, everybody has to say it.
Stop it.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, there's going to be, like, several Hansen references just in this book.
I forgot
okay,
about
so
that.
Okay, so Kyle's mic. And Laura, I think you're mic 2.
Am I mic 2? Yo, yes.
Yes, you are.
Hi, Laura.
Me on mic
2.
CJ, how's it going?
It's going well.
Stephanie, anything? No?
What?
Wait, did I even write this out?
Yeah,
you did.
Yeah,
you
totally did.
I didn't even think about it.
For those that don't understand, CJ hasn't been able to say Laura first. He always says Stephanie whenever he sees her.
I don't know why.
I know why.
I know why.
Why?
Because you're a fool. But that's okay. That's why we hired you. So that you could say the things that all of us think before we say.
I'd prefer to be called buffoon.
Okay, CJ, I'm going to teach you something. See these bars right here?
Yeah, I know. I get rid of them.
No, see, you don't want to go
into just ignore the bars, okay? Just ignore them.
It's your job to make sure I don't go over them.
And I'm trying to help you do my job.
Okay. It's a good thing you're on the other side of the table or I'd hit you.
Job.
You're really overusing the beep.
Oh yeah, that is.
Five text messages for Kyle.
Oh, this is so much fun. Okay, so let's finish a page.
Three gorgeous damn.
So it was just the 5 of us. Blah blah blah. Smelly. Cassie's parents are veterinarians. They use their barn to take in sick or injured wild animals. Who's saying that? It's just this stupid 2-day gymnastics camp I signed up for a long time ago.
Wait, why is Kyle doing everything? I'm pretty sure that's Laura.
No, jeez! My bad.
Ready? Starting over.
Okay.
Just this stupid 2-day gymnastics camp I signed up for a long time ago.
Rachel was saying.
It's no big deal. It's something I was gonna do back, you know, before. Rachel, you should go.
Cassie said.
Our entire lives cannot be about fighting the Yerks. We have to try to be semi-normal. I mean, it can't all be danger and battle and fear, right?
Stop putting that
so
bone
go.
In front of me.
But for now,
what?
Help me lift up this crow's cage. He's going up on that shelf.
Cassie was trying to get us to help clean up the barn. We used the barn to get together. It was one of the few places we could meet with Tobias. See, he can't exactly go to the mall. Ooh, you have to say this line.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
Is it you prefer? afraid him.
Crows.
Tobias said in thought speak that we heard only in our minds.
I can't believe you're saving a crow. Crow, I hate crows. You know how that he probably got that broken wing? Oh, I'm so struggling. trying to rob a respectable... Trying to mob.
You should probably get some steel wool for your reading abilities. Clean out that rust there.
Okay, you're weird.
Maybe throw a little acetone in it.
Dude, just stop while you're behind, man.
What?
You're really struggling with this rusty thing. Just let him read.
You know how he probably got that broken wing? Trying to mob a respectable hawk, that's how. Crows are total punks.
Tobias was perched high in the rafters of the barn. From up there, he could fly in and out through the hayloft.
Flutter.
Yes. Tobias is a red-tailed hawk. Actually, in his mind, in his soul, he's human. But the power to morph has a terrifying downside. Stay in a morph for more than 2 hours, and you stay forever. Tobias was trapped forever in a body with long, powerful wings, ripping taloned feet, and fierce, angry eyes that stared at you around his hooked beak. You would never guess that he had once been such a gentle guy. I guess he still is that guy, but he's also a hawk.
Yeah, I'm looking at you. Crow,
Tobias said in mock threat. Obviously, the crow did not understand thoughtspeak. Cassie smiled.
Tobias, I promise, when we release this guy, we'll take him far from your territory.
Not yet.
I already told Melissa Chapman I wasn't going.
Are we going to try actual voices?
Yeah.
Let's do it. I'm up for a challenge.
Wow, you just ruined. What?
Yeah, you just completely talked over Laura.
No, it's done.
Yeah,
it
she was dumb,
Kyle's
man.
Turn.
It was the meld between line and tangent.
Animorphs, contrary to popular opinion, is also a chivalrous show.
Chivalrous?
Yeah. So this is like Animorphs, the radio drama, uncensored.
Uncensored?
Uncensored.
Unstenciled.
Uncensored chivalry.
Six text messages.
Goodness!
Six.
Don't worry about it. Just keep reading. Oh, it's my turn.
Yep.
Marco,
the freaking show.
Marco, who had been lying back on a big bale of hay, and wait, am I wrong?
Yeah.
Well, how wrong?
Just head up like a paragraph. Rachel said.
Rachel said, going back to her own topic.
She went up to the camp this afternoon, right after school.
Marco, who had been lying back on a big bale of hay and staring at the ceiling, sat up.
Rachel doesn't think we can survive without her for 2 days. After all, she's the mighty Xena, warrior princess.
It was Marco's teasing name for Rachel. Rachel has a tendency to be very bold. Anytime there's something borderline insane that needs to be done, Rachel is always the first volunteer.
Marco, you have hay stuck in your hair.
Oh, yeah. He ignored her remark.
You forgot to say what Rachel said because you were texting.
No, that was
the person off of the show.
No, that was obviously Rachel.
You didn't... No, you said...
This coming from the guy who always skips that when he narrates.
I do not.
You know what? Shame on
no,
you.
I
and
don't.
Everything you stand
no.
for.
Stop hitting things.
Why?
You know, I thought being one of the higher-ups in the radio station, you'd have more respect for the equipment, but no.
Higher-ups, my boot. Oh, sorry.
Talks.
What?
Is it my line or CJ's?
What did you say? Rachel thinks if she's not here and we have trouble, we'll all just run screaming and yammering like a bunch of scared little kids. It's your line.
He put on a phony, serious expression.
All I want to know is, why don't you dress like Xena? I mean, the whole leather and sword thing would really work for you.
Okay, shut up. I'll go.
Rachel said.
I'll go.
I thought
I'm
you
going.
Were actually telling CJ to
just
stop.
Get away from Marco. Maybe
I
was.
I totally
Woo! But just to get away from Marco for a couple of days, I'll catch the bus tomorrow morning.
Think of me while you're on the uneven parallel bars.
Marco said. But it wasn't to Marco that Rachel looked. It was to Tobias.
You guys awkward. Will stay out of trouble while I'm gone, won't you?
No, I'm so afraid of this.
We'll be fine, Rachel.
That's what she said.
No, that's what Tobias said.
Right, no.
Stop
yeah.
confusing the listeners.
That's what I said. Tobias said. I saw Cassie smile and my gaze met hers.
Oh.
She gave a slight nod. Cassie has a theory that Rachel and Tobias like each other. Not
so
that Rachel has ever said anything.
So do we.
Please forgive me, the trees forgive me. So why can't you forgive me? I don't see what anyone...
Even though Rachel and Cassie are best friends. Cassie thinks it's sweet.
BFFs.
Right. Cassie thinks it's sweet and romantic. I just think it's kind of sad. I mean, as far as we know, Tobias will never be fully human again.
What? I'm not... Oh, sorry. We're doing method acting tonight, I guess.
We should all just enjoy a nice, normal weekend, I said. Have normal fun. We've had plenty of danger and excitement. Marco sent me a sly, resentful look.
Some of us are going to have more fun than others. Some of us are going to the pool parties that some of us were not invited to.
He shook his fist melodramatically at the ceiling.
Why? Why? What does that girl have against me?
I rolled my eyes. Here we go again.
Hey, I need someone strong to come outside with me and help me carry in some new cages from the truck.
Cassie said, rescuing me.
Oh,
Marco?
Marco cried.
A sudden shooting pain. Ow.
I'm coming, Cassie, I said. I gave Marco a shove, pushing him back on his bale of hay. You are so pathetic.
Don't strain yourself,
Marco said with a cocky grin. Outside, out of the golden glow of the barn's light, it was getting dark. A full moon had risen. And you could just see the first stars off to the east. The pickup truck was piled precariously high with wire cages. I climbed up and began to untie the rope and held them in place.
It seems strange, Rachel going away, even for a couple days. And it seems even stranger that it would seem strange. I mean, it should be no big deal.
Sorry. I'm really falling apart here.
I'll do the narration.
No, I got this.
No, I'll do the narration.
No, you can't change things.
No,
you cannot change.
It will keep the moment.
Okay, fine. Well, I guess when life turns completely crazy, it's the normal things that start to seem strange.
Cassie nodded slowly. For a while, she said nothing. Just stood there with her arms crossed, looking up at the moon. I climbed down off the truck.
What's bothering you?
She shrugged.
Nothing. Just a feeling. I don't know. Bad dreams, I guess.
I have those too,
I said.
We all do. You can't live through all this and not have it bother you. What's the dream about? The ant thing?
We'd morphed ants once. We'd gone down into an ant tunnel and been attacked by an enemy ant colony. No one ever wanted to go through that ever again.
No. It's not the ants. At least,
Cassie said.
Not directly. It's dumb. There is something, but I don't even know what it is. But it's not a good thing, and it asks me to make a choice.
Make a choice.
In the dream, I have to decide who lives and who dies.
Which one? Who's gonna die? I don't know. I moved closer to Cassie and put my arm around her shoulder.
Cheers.
There were goosebumps on her bare arms.
Don't worry about it. It's coming over the mic. Yeah. sorry. Is it my line?
No, it's mine. No worries. I never used to be afraid, Jake. Not of anything. And now it's like I'm afraid all the time.
You deal with it, though.
I said. It made me nervous talking about feelings like this. I think if you just don't talk about the fear, it will go away.
You always deal with it.
I repeated.
So far.
Cassie said softly.
So far.
Ah, glorious.
The music's like, this makes me
gotta love
like
it.
A high school
dance. You just gotta love it.
You know, this awkward stance.
The awkward, like, hands on hip, hands on shoulders, walk in circle.
2 feet, but you could tell, you know, you could take a meter around. It was 2 feet if you know, it was just, like, friends, and then it was, like, 1 foot if it was an item, as much as items were in
1 foot?
And 7th and 8th grade.
Yeah, CJ went to Catholic school. Some of us went to public school.
Where it was definitely, like, 10 inches.
Yeah, some of us also didn't go to dance.
Seriously,
sorry, I was
hot.
Rounding to the nearest significant figure.
No homework in the studios.
Stop threatening me with pins.
Hey, we made it through a chapter. That's got to be a record.
How
almost
long
a half hour?
Oh, man.
Nice. Way to go, folks. We're rocking. We gotta get to the pool party, though.
Pool party!
Wait, what chapter is that?
Because everyone wants to partake in the partay.
Late-ish.
It's like chapter 6, isn't it? Nope, it's before that. No, whoa, how far into it is it?
It's a ways. Not that far.
Dang.
Let's do this.
I lied to a friend.
We'll get there.
We'll probably get there towards the end, though.
We'll get there when we get there!
Name that movie.
The Incredibles?
There we go.
Testing. Testing.
When was that?
Do I take... I don't remember what the street names are.
Oh,
take
yeah.
traction!
That'll oh, take
that'll
me
take
down.
Down.
No, stop it. Wrong show.
We've got another one of those kind of scenes in here.
Exactly.
I call... oh, yes, I get to do Marco and you get to do Jake. Yay!
Yay, great. Let's go.
Okay.
Chapter 2.
My name is Rachel. I live with my mom and my two little sisters.
Aww.
We live pretty close to Jake, who lives pretty close to Marco. Cassie is the farthest one out because she lives on the farm. I guess we're a pretty average bunch of kids. I mean, we were a pretty average bunch. Marco lives with his dad. I live with my mom. Jake and Cassie each have both parents around. We go to school. We do homework. We hang at the mall. We listen to music. Go to movies on the weekends. Normal, boring, average. Till one night, we happened to hook up together at the mall and decided to take a shortcut through an abandoned construction site off the
Come
highway.
Come on, guys.
No, sorry, sorry.
Professional.
Professional. Serious. This is me.
Right when the mic's on.
Serious.
Off, professional.
We weren't a group back then. Jake was my cousin, but we didn't really see each other, except at school. Cassie was my best friend and had been around for a long time. But Marco was just Jake's friend, not mine.
Oh, no! Oh, God! We don't have a button to press!
The on
button!
You're on Animorphs.
The radio drama.
Uncensored. Where would you like to be?
Oh.
And CJ fails. That's the sound of failure.
Make it so that they can...
Make it so.
Number one.
Here we go.
Engage. And I step out of the phone, the room, and the phone rings. Like, let's try it again. Let's try it again. Alright, okay.
Okay, okay. We know which buttons to press now. I think. Are we just gonna, like, be silent until
no,
it rings
I was just
again?
Get him out of the room. Keep reading.
No, not yet!
No.
I'm sure they're calling!
So Marco was just Jake's friend, but not mine. And Tobias was this guy Jake felt sorry for because he came from such a messed up home and got picked up by bullies. That's
I feel
Jake.
So mean.
When Jake sees some guy at school getting his head stuffed in a toilet, he's absolutely going to stop it.
What? No!
Can you stop interrupting my chapter?
Sure, it's not
Maybe?
Over yet.
No, you can come in. You can come in. I got a text message. That means that it worked.
Jake isn't some big tough guy or anything. It's just that when he tells you in that calm, reasonable voice of his to stop picking on someone, you stop. You just do. Jake is sort of the one in charge. It's not something he ever wanted. It just seems natural for him to take over.
Natural.
Not that Jake is without his own level of stupidity. I mean, he was right there with us walking through an isolated, abandoned construction site that night. It wasn't the smartest thing we ever did. But the way it turned out, the real danger that night was not from some mad slasher. The real danger was from a totally unexpected direction. See,
space.
That's the where the damaged Andalite spaceship landed.
These are the void
right ships. There in the construction
Starship
site.
Enterprise.
That's where we saw our first alien. That's where we learned about the Yerk threat. And that's where the Andalite, Prince Elfengor, gave us our power to morph. It's where Elfengor died, too. We watched it happen. We watched that brave descent.
It's Elfengor.
Well, excuse me.
Okay.
No, I like it. I like it. Let me go with
That's
it.
That's a different way of talking. The offset, the Animorphs actually argue about how you said Elfangle.
Yeah, actually, we were told that Dracon Beam is actually Dracon by one of our fans, and I had no idea which one was
I
right.
still say it's Dracon.
I think it sounds cooler, like Draco with an N at the end.
Yeah, except you get, you know, like, it sounds like it. You can even have your own spin-off show.
Dracon 5.
I like to think that authors expect you to make up...
Goodness! Oh my goodness!
Good grief, Kyle.
What?
It'd be so much more efficient if they just called.
No. This is way more fun.
No.
Better yet, they could call the studio?
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding! We have
What do we have for him, Johnny?
So regardless of how you actually say his name, we watched him die. We watched that brave, decent, kind creature be murdered by Visser 3. Murdered for trying to protect the people of Earth.
Gosh!
Anyway,
I like you.
That's when we became a group. CJ's out then?
Haha.
Sorry, CJ.
Time out.
It was Marco who came up with a name for what we were. Animorph. Persons who can morph animals. The Andalite left us the burden of fighting the Yerks and gave us that one weapon, the power to morph.
Is their blessing, it is their curse.
Like all weapons, it has dangers even to those who use it for a good cause. Just ask Tobias. But it is an awesome power. We have done some damage to the Yerks. And to be honest with you, sometimes the morphing power is just plain fun. Right now, though, my normal life was calling. It was already getting warm by the time I walked over to school the next morning. The bus to the camp was due to come at 11. I got to school an hour early.
Oh, she got there at 10.
I know. I stopped on the sidewalk in front of the school and checked my watch. The sun was climbing fast, and you could tell it was going to be a really hot day. I smiled. It would be a good day for flying.
It is a good day to fly.
I crossed the athletic field and headed for the woods behind the school. I wanted to check in with Tobias before I left. It's no big thing. It's just that I kind of take care of stuff Tobias needs. I bring him books sometimes. You know, things he can't get in the woods. But Tobias isn't always an easy guy to find, especially in the morning when he's likely to be out hunting his breakfast. I knew I would need great eyes and speed to find him and still get back in time to catch the bus. But it's funny how it never even occurred to me that I was in a very dangerous position. You see, my mom and my friends all thought I was heading to camp, but they wouldn't expect to see me for a couple of days. But the camp people didn't think I was coming, so they wouldn't expect to see me either. But none of this occurred to me. After all, what did I have to worry about? Little did I know. So I entered the woods, put my outer clothing in my bag, hid it beneath some low-lying bushes, and took a quick look around to make sure I was alone. And then I began to morph. I focused my mind on one of the many animals whose DNA is part of me. Every morphing is unique. The changes never happen the same way twice. This time, the first thing to change was my mouth. My lips grew hard and stiff, and when I rolled my eyes downward, I could see my mouth become bright yellow and bulge outward. What am I becoming? As that happened, I began to shrink. The pine needle-covered ground came up toward me as I lost a foot of height within a few seconds, then another foot. The strangest thing, though, was my skin. The flesh on my bare arms began to melt like candle wax. It melted and ran together. It formed intricate patterns like a tattoo of feathers. Suddenly, the painted feather patterns were no longer just designs. Actual feathers began to emerge. The feathers were dark brown, except for the ones that replaced my blonde hair and the skin of my face and neck. Those feathers were all snowy white. By the time the morph was nearly complete, I only stood about 2 feet tall. My feet had split open and formed yellow talons, each of which ended in a wicked hooked claw. My arms rose up, horizontal. Long feathers sprouted from them, even as my solid, heavy human bones became hollow and light. It took just a few minutes for the transformation to be done. I was no longer human. I was a bald eagle. I turned to face the breeze and opened my wings. They stretched 6 feet from tip to tip. I felt the wind press against my feathers, stretching my muscles. I flapped several times with great power, and then I was airborne. I drew my talons up snug against my body. I flapped and rose. I flapped more and soared above the trees. The top branches reached for me, but missed. I flapped still more and caught a good, strong headwind. It was like an invisible wedge that forced me up and up, and up, and still more up. I rose till I was several hundred feet above the treetops. I could see the school down below. I could see the bus parked in the empty lot. And, being an eagle, I could see a great deal more. Looking through the eyes of an eagle is like having built-in binoculars. From hundreds of feet in the air, I could see field mice just poking their noses out of their holes. I could see ants crawling up the trunks of trees. I could look down through the water of a stream and see tiny fish feeding there. I could see everything, like no human will ever see. I turned toward the deeper woods where Tobias lived. And maybe there's something better than flying free, high above the trees, riding the wind, but I doubt it. It was freedom beyond any dream of freedom, and I loved it. For all the pain that has come from the war with the Yerks, I swear sometimes just being able to fly makes it all worthwhile. I was close to Tobias's territory when I spotted something interesting below me. It was a deer-like animal running swiftly through the trees. When I focused my laser intensity eagle sight, I could see the semi-human torso and face and the deadly scorpion tail.
You better go out the
hallway-ish. Oh, somebody better help me with this one.
What? Accidentally escort off this sill?
Axe is an Andalite, the only Andalite to survive a terrible space battle with the Yerks. Prince Elfangor was his brother. Better? Yes. Okay.
Nailed it.
It was fun watching him run. I've never seen anything that can look as delicate and cute one minute and as dangerous the next as an Andalite. I decided to swoop down over Axe and say hi. I spilled a little air from my wings and dropped, thrilled by the feeling of a controlled fall from hundreds of feet up. It's like jumping off a skyscraper knowing you can survive. I dropped from the trees. I dropped toward the trees. I actually had time to notice the nest in a high branch. Just out of the corner of my eye, I had time to think, isn't that cute? Baby birds. And then they hit me. Faster than me? More agile? Small dark birds zipped straight at me like they were going to hit. And there were too many of them. I turned hard left. In a flash, I knew what was happening. They thought I was attacking their nest, and they were mobbing me and trying to drive me off. I banked a hard turn. Too fast. I was still going fast from the dive, but too fast. Bank left and turn. Wham! I barely saw the tree trunk before I hit. Head first. Down I fell. Down through branches that tore at me, banged me, slapped me, ripped at my feathers. I hit the ground hard. I was hurt. I knew I was hurt. Fading out. My mind was swimming. Human thoughts, eagle instinct, all swirling, shifting. I was falling down, down, a dark well, down. Morph out, I told myself. Rachel, morph out! And then I was gone.
Nice. That has to be one of the best we've had in a while. That was a great chapter. High five.
Thanks.
Woo! Chapter 3.
Distance 5. Guess who's rocking this?
Look, it's simple.
I explain. Wait, no, this is you.
Yes. Well, you can narrate when I'm not talking.
No, you're
up. No, it's fine.
You have to juggle.
Thank you.
I was gonna say. This is Matt's turn.
You're still reading narration.
I know, but he's only to juggle, so I was juggling. Don't stab me with
chapter
pens.
Chapter 3, take 2.
Look, it's simple, I explained patiently. There's this party, this pool party, and I was not invited. Not only was I not invited, but the girl who's having the party went out of her way not to invite me. By the way, hi, my name is Marco. I'm an animorph, too. I'm the smart, cute one. No, seriously, Jake is the bossy one, Cassie's the nice one, Rachel is the stupidly brave one, and Tobias is a bird. And I am the cute one. All girls think so. All except Darlene.
So you are not wanted at this party, but you want to go anyway.
That was Ax speaking. Well, not exactly speaking. He's an Andalite.
We got a phone call!
Yay!
Welcome to Animorphs, the radio drama uncensored. How may I direct your call?
I just wanted to say that you guys rock. I'm listening, and that last chapter rocked too.
How
Hold,
I
please. Hey, you're on Animorphs, the radio drama uncensored. How's it going?
Yes!
Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, Jason. We know we rock. And it's because of listeners like you.
Animorphs, the radio drama is brought in to you in part by a grant from the National Science Foundation and viewers like you. Actually, we don't have a
and the
grant.
Letter too.
And NTech International, leaders of microporous manufacturers of microporous membrane materials, headquartered in Lebanon, Oregon. NTech International, leadership, commitment, and innovation worldwide.
Wow! Did you memorize that just for this show?
From OPB.
Oh,
when you hear that every single time you watch a show, like you know. Zoom, zoom, zoom.
No, that
I hate
not,
that show.
That's Mazda. That's Mazda.
Oh, which one's the? No, which one's the other one then?
Come on and zoom. Come on and zoom.
I want to
destroy my life as a child.
They do thought speak. It's like telepathy. We can all do it when we're in morph, but for Andalites, it's their normal language. Axe's real name.
Give me your phone. Seriously.
Why? Will it stop?
I want it to
is Axemili Escaraz Isful. Rolls right off the tongue, doesn't it? Now you know why we don't call him Ax. That's right, I explained to him. I mean, Jake and Cassie were both invited. Rachel was invited, but she's going to that stupid gymnastics thing. Basically, everyone at school was invited. All I'm saying is, there must be a reason why I was not invited. And I think I know what that reason is. Darlene likes me. There's no other possible explanation. Ax looked puzzled.
Is that common among humans? Do you avoid the ones you like?
No, not like. Like. I like you, Ax, but
give it,
I don't...
Give it.
Like you. There's like, and then there's like.
And then there's like. That's how mine should be read.
Oh my gosh!
Kyle left the studio to take a phone call. Do you have anything to add, Laura?
You're not on a radio show! You're in the bat places! a caller called during our show and was asking some weird questions. He wanted to know if you...
What?
Oh, well, this is interesting. We can take that at the hour.
This is going to be awkward. On the end of... Axe staring at me with his main eyes. He has four eyes altogether. Two of them are fairly normal. The other two eyes are on these stalk-like things that stick out of the top of his head like those little horns a giraffe has. On the end of each stalk, he has an eye, which he can point in any direction. Very weird, but you can't sneak up on the guy, that's for sure.
I am confused,
X said. It's okay, you don't need to understand, I just want you to go with me.
To the party?
That's right, we have to go to the party to see what Darlene says about me. She and her cheerleader friends are probably going to talk about me. I want to hear what they say.
And you want me to go with you?
Yes, you and me. I need someone to watch my back.
But Prince Jake will be at the party, won't he?
I rolled my eyes. Axe is convinced Jake is his prince. I guess Andalites are into the whole royalty thing. Yes, Jake will be there. But Jake is not going to help me spy on Darlene, is he? Neither will Cassie. Cassie doesn't exactly fit in with the cheerleader crowd. They talk about clothes and guys. Cassie talks about animals and saving the world or whatever.
Pardon me if I sound skeptical, and please don't be offended,
Axe said.
But I sense that maybe this is a dishonorable idea.
You sense right, Axe. Oh.
Oh, you that's me?
Yeah, it's you.
You sense right, Axe.
Tobias. He zipped swiftly overhead and landed on a low branch. He was carrying something in his beak. Hi, Tobias, I said. Do you have it?
Yes. And do you know how hard it is to fly around with a live, squirming mouse in my beak?
Don't drop it on me, I said.
Drop it. Drop it.
Drop it down to me.
Don't you love it when CJ just...
You know what?
No
way. Go away.
I did that already.
At least I don't get texted like every 30 seconds and interrupt the flow of the show.
Ad hominem attack.
Or when you have people sending you hate texts that say, go away and never come back.
Who said that?
The person on your phone.
Or Smeagol, I guess.
I have x-ray vision. I can see through it.
Dear Kyle, you are so awesome. I want your bod.
What?
Love, CJ.
What? I don't even have a phone. I've never text messaged my
life.
That's convenient, CJ. Drop it.
Your mom's convenient.
Yes!
I did it because someone told me to.
Oh, half an hour, or 15 minutes ago, you were listening to KDUP 1580 AM or online at kdup.up.edu. Where can you call
us tonight at 503-943-7121. That's 503-943-7121.
Or Laura, what's the extension?
No idea.
7121.
Oh, that's what you just said, though.
Yeah, I know, but...
Okay, well, then you can call us from your dorm room phone at extension 7121.
Thank
all
you,
right.
Laura.
Thank you, Laura. Laura Masterson, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, let's give
her
a hand.
Thank you.
Yeah!
Woo!
Yeah! That's a... Atta way.
I think it's still your line to get.
Oh my gosh! I can't read it from here.
Hey! A real phone call. Okay. Hi, you're on Animorphs.
The radio drama uncensored. How may I direct your call?
I want to talk to the people on the radio.
Okay.
Hi, you're on Animorphs, the radio drama uncensored.
Hi, Laura, this is Megan from your floor.
Megan, hello, how are you doing?
We're trying to listen to you, but you're not talking enough. Maybe
I'm not talking enough. Well, maybe you should talk to the three other folks in the
hey,
studio here.
We'll be quiet.
Echo,
echo.
There's an echo?
There is no echo.
But you guys are really good. We absolutely love it.
Yes. Woohoo!
Thanks, Megan.
Tell your friends.
Have a
we'll
good
be
night.
Here every week.
First floor mailing right there.
Woo!
Sweet.
Thanks.
It's like a completely untapped market of listeners.
There
girls?
Yeah.
Yay!
Okay, so I turned down the levels. It should be okay, I guess. Phone call!
God, we're so cool.
Hi, you're on Animorphs, the radio drama.
Uncensored.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, is this Animorphs?
Yes.
This is Jamie.
Hi, I just wanted you to know that the 8th floor is also listening.
Yes!
Yeah. Ah, that's one out of, two
and
out of,
also
eight,
like
two out of eight.
Woo! I love her stories.
Awesome.
Thanks, ladies.
God, this is awesome.
Oh, this is great. We should have guests that are popular on here all the time.
Yeah, tell us another sweet story, okay?
Another sweet story? Well, I think I got a chapter coming up here soon if three would keep talking.
Bye.
Bye.
I feel so insignificant now.
Not at all.
You are.
I know.
I mean, relatively speaking.
Yeah.
I mean, the universe
the great
is
scheme of things.
So huge.
Yeah. Oh, don't do that.
Just
oh.
like your...
That's... Dang it.
That's I'm glad I didn't tell her when our new time is.
Oh.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And we get
all right.
Drop it down.
I think they're right. We need to get this party started.
Hey, I was doing just fine. Drop it down.
Oh, phone call. Yay. Gosh. It's like break time, man.
Hello. What floor of mailing are you on?
Hello.
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 I'll let you know that Kenna and Christy are listening together.
Woo!
Yeah.
That's
Woo!
Awesome. Thank you, Jenna and Christy.
Hello, 1, 2, 3.
That is a crowd. That's at least 50 people.
Yeah.
That bums us up to 250 listeners tonight. Thank
Thanks,
you very
guys.
Much.
Thanks, Kenna and Christy.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Joe and Katie and Andy and Marty and...
Oh, hey, tell Andy that Henry's looking for him.
Oh, he knows that already. He's leaving.
Fine.
Oh. All right, you guys rock. Have fun. Adios.
Okay, bye.
Laters.
Bye.
Booyah, Grandma.
All right, so drop it down to me.
Drop it down to me, I said.
Drop it like it's hot.
You are a twisted, devious human being, Marco.
Tobias said.
Axe, if you have any sense, you won't get involved in this.
Tobias, I am suffering. I have small, itching bumps on parts of my body.
Don't we all, Axe?
That's awful! That's awful! Where did they go now? We gotta... Ah!
I don't know. Marco has agreed to help me, if I will help him. Okay. He has a rare medicine that will help.
Marco, you're blackmailing Axe with flea powder? Axe, my friend, you just picked up a couple fleas. It's normal in the woods. Don't let Marco
just
jerk you.
Just give me the mouse and stop acting like a parent. I interrupted. I'm not blackmailing anyone. I'll bring Axe the flea powder. Jeez, the suspicion around here. Tobias dropped the mouse and I caught it with one hand. It squirmed and I almost dropped it. But as I began to acquire it, it calmed down. See, if you want to morph into an animal, you have to first acquire it. You have to make contact, and you sort of focus on it, concentrate on it. The animal goes into a trance, and meanwhile, the animal's DNA is being absorbed.
Hi.
You're on Animorphs, the radio drama. Uncensored. How may I direct your call?
Apparently you can't.
You got shut down.
Might I reply about something that happened in the commons the other day?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? Leave me alone.
No.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. As long as we got that cleared. Don't ask me how it works. It's some sort of weird analyte biotechnology. I just know it works. When I was done acquiring the mouse, I handed it to Axe. He had to use both hands to hold on. Analyte arms and hands are kind of puny. Of course, they also have four legs, and those are pretty strong. I mean, Axe can haul when he wants to. I'll bet he could do like 40 miles an hour. Then there's that tail. The tail is the reason analytes will never be considered truly cute. I've seen Axe use that tail on full-grown Hork-Bajir warriors. And fast, man, you don't even see it move. It's like whap, and all of a sudden Hork-Bajir only has one arm. I believe Axe could chop down a tree with that tail if he felt like it.
Marco, you know Jake will roast you alive behind this.
Tobias said.
Behind? What the heck? Morphing for personal reasons?
Yeah, we had a confused question about... Hey, Jake was invited to the party, all right? He'll be soaking up the rays at the poolside. He'll be having a good time. Meanwhile, I, his best friend, was not invited. Jake is big on justice. I ask you, is this justice? No, clearly not.
Such speeches
He's a regular Winston Churchill, he really is.
Winston Churchill!
That was amazing, Kyle.
Ending his sentence is not something up with I shall put.
What?
That's one of his famous things.
Right.
Ending a sentence with a preposition is not something up with which I will put.
Yeah, there was. Yeah.
Marco.
Something up with which I will not put?
Yes.
Laura got it right.
Specification.
Gosh, why isn't this your radio show? Marco, Jake says the last time you were invited to one of Darlene's pool parties, you floated a baby Ruth par in the pool and told everyone it was, you know, maybe what? That's why you weren't invited.
I was like 6 years old, I protested. I don't know, I didn't know any better. Besides, it was funny.
Marco, you were not six.
Whatever, who remembers?
You were 10.
Who remembers this stuff?
Darlene does.
I ignored Tobias. Are you done acquiring the mouse? I asked Axe. If so, give him back to Tobias for lunch.
I've eaten, thanks.
Tobias said.
But you shouldn't laugh. You want to go play mouse, you better remember something. There are a lot of predators who enjoy eating mice. It's a dangerous world out there.
And who would know better than you, Mr. Predator? Tobias laughed.
Even we predators get ours sometimes. I saw a bald eagle get mobbed by a bunch of jays this morning. Dum dum dum.
Dum dum dum.
Slammed into a tree. I guess the eagle was going after their nest.
Won't be any eagles at the party, I said. The bird world is your problem, dude. I have a party to attend.
Darlene likes him,
Axe said.
But she doesn't like him.
That's pretty much how everyone feels about Marco,
Tobias said with a laugh.
Okay, we're stalling while Kyle plays with chords.
Stalling.
Don't worry about it.
We're stalling.
Do you need a windscreen for that?
We're stalling on Animorphs. We're stalling.
Oh, hold on.
We're stalling on.
Checking.
Oh!
Welcome back, Kyle.
Try it again.
Check.
Don't blow on it. Talk some more. I gotta get the levels right.
Chapter 4.
Yeah, keep reading.
King's Chapter 4, Jake.
King's Cross.
I feel bad even going to this party. I said, Darlene should have invited Marco. He wouldn't have done the Baby Ruth thing again. He's much more mature now. Sort of.
Mature.
I feel a little guilty, too.
Cassie said. She lowered her voice to a whisper and put her mouth... What?
Music. Pool party.
Oh, yeah, geez. We're already there. Oh, quick. Oh,
we've got music for the pool party?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
This
brought
is
to us by
Jeff Cush.
Jeff Cush, a.k.a. Fupa. From Veeb, dub Veeb.
Fupa.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
I'm just not savvy with rap names.
Can you pause this one, Kyle? Like, is it possible? Don't do it right now, but can you do that?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So are we, like, going to listen to it?
Hey, I'm going to turn this off.
Because it sounds funny. You hear that?
Okay.
Give me a mic.
Pool time.
Yo.
Cassie said. She lowered her voice to a whisper and put her mouth close to my ear.
But I seem to remember you saying we should all take the weekend off and be normal. So I am going to be normal.
We were both in our swimsuits, sitting in those long pool chairs. You know, the ones you can adjust so you're lying down or sitting up. There were 40 or 50 kids around the pool. Darlene's family has money. I guess because it's a very nice pool. Stop it! There was a long table loaded up with chips and dip and cold cuts. And there were coolers full of ice, soft drinks. There was decent rock music playing on the stereo. Some kids were dancing. It wasn't even noon yet. But the sun was already bright. It was going to be hot. That was for sure. I almost envied Rachel heading up to the mountains. It would probably be cooler up there. It feels weird to just sit around and relax, I said. As soon as the words were out of my mouth, I heard a blood-curdling scream.
Jeez!
Someone shrieked. Someone else cried, oh, 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 oh. I sat straight up, troubled. I could feel the familiar rush of adrenaline. I quickly looked around, checking for the ways to
escape. Right here! With the capital T and that rhymes with P, that stands for pool!
Shame on you.
And this is a pool party.
Looked around.
Yes!
Checking for the ways to escape. The places where we could stand and fight, and places we might be able to hide for a quick morph. People were running. No. On a closer look, only a couple of girls were running. They were the ones screaming.
That's Darlene,
Cassie said. She sent me a puzzled, worried look.
Oh, oh, oh! Get away! Like, get away from me!
Darlene screamed. Darlene ran straight towards us. She ran like the hounds of hell were right behind her.
Help me!
She screamed.
He's after me!
Jeez, you're better at being a girl than Laura. That's amazing.
No, like a ditzy girl than Laura.
That's what I said.
What are you saying about Laura?
That she's not ditzy!
Oh.
Uh-huh, sure.
Or she's bad at being ditzy.
Did you get what I was saying?
Hmm. Yes, no, I understand, CJ.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Right. Okay. She screamed, "It's after me."
I already said that.
What is it? I yelled to no one in particular.
Mice!
This girl named Tracy yelled,
"Mice!"
And I spotted them. Two tiny, harmless little mice. Two little mice chasing Darlene like a pair of lions trying to bring down a buffalo. Darlene dodged right. The mice went right after her. And then something very interesting happened. This guy named Hans yelled,
Darlene! Darlene, run this way! I will stop them!
Darlene headed for Hans.
I am German, I do not pronounce that.
Hans raised his foot up, ready to stomp the mice
only
as they
pronounce
shot.
You will die.
Stomp the mice as they shot past. But suddenly, the mice turned a sharp left, shot around behind Hans, and tore off after Darlene. Right then I knew.
What the devil?
The mice had heard Hans' plan. They had dodged away to safety.
Real mice don't chase people,
Cassie said, giving me a meaningful look. No, they don't, I agreed.
Marco,
Cassie whispered.
And he must have dragged Axe into it, too.
I'll kill him, I said, just as soon as we save him. I raced around the pool. I tore through a mess of overturned chairs and soda cans and paper plates. Cassie went the other way.
Help me!
Oh, jeez. Oh, it's like fingernails on a chalkboard. Darlene screamed, running toward the patio door.
Hey!
Cassie yelled as loudly as she could.
It's just a couple of mice. Nothing to be afraid of.
One of the mice hesitated. Marco had recognized Cassie's voice. You know, if those mice want to live, they should go to Cassie, I said, trying to sound like I was making a joke. Otherwise, someone might kill them. Then under my breath, I added, someone like me.
I heard that.
Marco said to me in thoughtspeak. I could hear his thoughtspeak, but since I was not an amorph, I could not reply. Probably a good thing. I might have used some words I shouldn't use.
Like, we have them on the wall here in the studio.
Like, beep, 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 beep.
Oh, crap.
Crap's on there?
No, it says, don't be racist and don't be sexist.
And don't We're be not allowed sexually to be explicit.
Huh. Well, we'll see if we get kicked off the air. I could hear his thought speak, but since I was not an amorph, I could not reply. Probably a good thing. I might have used some words I shouldn't use, I repeated. It was total pandemonium. 40 kids running around like idiots, half running away from the mice, half running after the mice, everyone making lots of noise.
Noise! 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 Noise!
Cassie said loudly. We were trying to make Marco realize he had to head for Cassie. I knew he could hear us. Mice have excellent hearing. But Marco either didn't get it or had decided he wasn't done chasing Darlene. Or Darlene was not done screaming either. She reached the patio door. She was still screaming as she disappeared inside her house. Marco was after her like a shot, with Axe right behind.
Don't worry,
I heard Marco say in thought speak a few seconds later.
We're down in the basement. We're demorphing. Just make sure no one comes down to the basement looking for mice.
Oh, man.
What are we listening to?
Wow, way
Animorphs,
to skip
the
an
radio
entire
drama.
Line.
Oh, sorry, my bad.
I muttered. I ran for the patio door.
You're listening to Animorphs, the radio drama, uncensored on KUP.UP.EDU or 1580 AM, the sound of Portland. You can call us tonight at
503-943-7121. That's 503-943-7121.
Or extension
7121.
You can also email us at animorph_radio@yahoo.com. Check us out on the Facebook site Animorphs the Radio Drama, or check out our webpage www.animorphs-uncensored.com. Back to the show.
Was that it? I slammed hard into Hans, and both of us went rolling. No less than 8 other people slammed into us, one right after another.
Oh my god, I am being slammed!
It was like some bad football game, all of us jumbled together, yelling and giggling and pushing and trying to untangle our legs and arms. As it turned out, that pile-up saved my life. I sucked wind and tried to stand up, and the sky above us grew dark. It was so sudden. Ooh, wait, wait. Oh, yeah. Wait, no. I don't even know if that's the right button.
That's the one.
Is it?
It's just going.
As it turned out, that pile-up grew dark. It was so sudden and so complete that everyone just froze. I looked up. The sun was hidden behind a swirling cloud of dust, like a flat tornado, a tornado in a clear sky. I felt a terrible sensation of dread from deep down inside. The dust swarm grew solid. Within seconds, it assumed a shape like nothing ever seen on planet Earth. And then... it struck.
I knew it was coming. I hoped it wouldn't. You totally just splattered Matt with your spittle.
That's why there's wind socks.
I don't get a wind sock.
Yes, quick, put one on.
They make plastic ones you can put over your head.
That's a poncho.
Those ones have holes in them.
A poncho with holes?
Jeez, don't shout
in
the mic.
That's a garbage bag. I would die.
Moving on.
Okay, maybe it was a little immature to sneak up into Darlene's party as a mouse, but you didn't hear what she said about me. Me and Axe morphed in a vacant lot a block away. Then we toddled over on our little mouse legs to get to the party. Of course, first we had to get used to the mouse morph. See, when you morph, you don't just get the animal's body, you get its brain too. And most animal brains are loaded with different instincts. Usually hunger, also fear. The mouse had a lot of each. He was very obsessed about food, and he was one scared little animal. It's often that way when you first morph a new species. As soon as Axe and I achieved total mousehood, those instincts kicked in right away. Big time. The mouse didn't like being out in the open, in broad daylight. He was scared of predators, seriously scared. So we ran. It was like 1 minute you were a normal human being thinking, isn't it fascinating shrinking down like this, growing a tail, having big whiskers? And the next minute, that mouse brain kicks in, and it's suddenly like you are charged up with the energy of 1,000 cups of coffee on top of thousands of cups of Captain Crunch, and you are energized!
Kyle knows about thousands of cups of coffee.
Huh?
It's your line.
What?
You know about thousands of cups of coffee.
It's your line.
Coffee?
You are...
Wait, Axe speaks in the contraction. I can't. How inappropriate.
I can't control this creature.
Axe wailed.
It's insane.
Just go with it, I said. It'll chill out eventually. Let me tell you, mice can move on those little legs. It was like being strapped to the front bumper of an Indy 500 car. Just a second, I lost.
More spittle.
No, I didn't.
We hauled butt.
Yes, we did. Zipping in wild terror over leaves of grass as big as trees. Pieces of gravel the size of beach balls and bugs the size of collies.
You know, like Lassie.
That much I'm used to. I've morphed small animals before. But what was sick was that I really, really wanted to stop and eat some of those bugs. There was this one beetle, kind of a bluish black, and the mouse brain was like, aw, cool,
is that
lunch.
Better?
But it was more terrified than it was hungry, so we just kept running like an out of control lunatics. And I missed out on the flavor of bug. Eventually, we were able to get some control. Axe, you okay, man? I called him I called to him in thought speak.
I am fine, but these mice have very powerful instincts.
Yeah, scared little things, aren't they?
Animals develop instincts for a good reason.
Axe said darkly.
If the mouse is cautious. probably has good reasons.
Well, if we see any cats, we'll just morph back, I said.
Yes, if we live long enough.
In any case, we toddled off to the party, two little mice looking for a good time. Mouse senses are excellent. Fortunately, hearing is great. The sense of smell is great. The eyes are decent, but it's hard to see much when you're only an inch tall and your face is down at dirt level. Still, I was able to locate Darlene by the sound of her voice. She was talking to her friends about the usual stuff. School, music, some cute guy on TV. Axe and I hid underneath Darlene's chair, so I was able to hear everything pretty well. All I could see of Darlene was this enormous chair roof over my head, stretched bands of interwoven plastic bulging down like they might burst and crush me. Quite a distance away, I could see her legs, looking like two gigantic pink pillars.
That's hot.
Well, this is boring, I said to Axe.
What did you expect?
I expected them to be talking about me, naturally, I said. Then it occurred to me, I could thought speak to Darlene. I could just say the word Marco in her head. She wouldn't know where it had come from. She'd probably think someone had said it aloud. With thought speak, you can either do it so everyone hears you or sort of aim it at just one person. Marco, I said.
What?
Why don't you let Laura do that?
Okay.
What?
Darlene asked.
What about Marco?
You can try doing more ditzy than that.
Nothing about Marco.
This girl, Kara, said.
Good, because I don't even want his name mentioned at my party. He's such a jerk. I mean, after what he did, throwing baby Ruth bars in my pool, panicking everybody. He's so immature.
A girl named Ellen said.
No, dog.
Darlene Ellen. Said.
He thinks he's so cool and so cute, but he's totally
I
not.
A friend named Ellen.
He always makes jokes about stuff that aren't even funny.
Like I have a grandma named Ellen.
Your turn.
Thanks. Well, I could stand them saying I was immature. That's what girls always say. But saying I wasn't funny, I would show them funny. Oh, yes. I took off. I ran to the lake. Axe came after me, yelling,
What are we doing?
We're just going to see how good Darlene's sense of humor is. I yelled back. Oh, wait. We're just going to see how good Darlene's sense of humor is, I yelled back. I ran for that big pink lake. I saw the foot pressing heavily down on the grass. I shot past her heel, which was like a wall to me, and aimed for the toes.
Let me
just say this. Darlene thinks she's perfect in every way, but her toenails definitely need trimming. I scampered right onto her foot. I zoomed across her foot, then scrambled wildly around her ankle and back over her toes. I crowed to Axe. That'll give her something else to complain about. Darlene screamed. Up flew the foot. I jumped off just in time, and then she was out of there, screaming and yammering like a total ninny.
Ninny.
Yeah. Just screaming like total ninny music.
Havoc.
Oh.
Go.
It was total absolute fun. I'm sorry. I know it was wrong and all, but man, it was so cool. That is until I heard Hans yelling about how he was going to stop me. Oh, I'm not stopping. That would never do. I did not intend to be stomped on by Hans' big stinky foot. I heard Jake's big voice yelling and Cassie's sweeter, but still annoyed voice. Oh, man. It's Jake, I said to Axe. Busted. I raced for cover, looking for a place to morph back to human. Big stomping feet were landing all around me. They were slow, but man, they were big. Everyone was totally overreacting. I mean, give me a break. I was 2 inches long. How scary could I possibly be? And then it occurred to me, the house. We could run inside, race down to the basement. There was no one where no one would be. Morph back real fast, and then, well, and then there I would be, just me in an analyte. Great, that wouldn't look too strange. Axe, stay with me. We needed to morph. Then you have to do your human morph real quick, okay?
I have the feeling, Marco, that this was not a good idea.
Everything went according to plan. Zoom, over the threshold of onto the patio. Zoom, into the house itself. Zoom, past hysterical Darlene, who was on the couch with a pillow over her head. Zoom, along carpet, till we hit linoleum. Suddenly, the scent of dark places, mouse places. Yes, it was going to work. We ran across a step and leapt, falling... to land onto the next step, again and again, step after step, at a speed that felt like we were flying rockets. It was so cool. If you overlook the fact that it was maybe slightly stupid. Don't worry, I called back to Jake and ThoughtSpeak. We're in the basement. We're going to do more. Just make sure no one comes down to the basement looking for mice. We lost our pursuers. No one followed us down the steps, and even as I ran, I started to morph. I was halfway back to human, a strange mix of mouse tail and huge ears and
Hello.
Human legs.
Cool.
A scary-looking creature, the way Mickey Mouse would look if he'd been invented by Stephen King.
Axe looked even worse, half mouse, half analyte. Just as I was thinking, hey, this will all be fun, the entire world just fell apart.
Blue.
We need a crunch. Give us a crunch, Kyle. Sunlight streamed down. The entire roof had been ripped away. The entire roof! Wood and beams and concrete just shattered and ripped and fell in huge chunks. I couldn't even make sense of it. I mean, the entire world around me was just being shredded. Shredded, like the universe was being run through a food processor. And then I saw it. It was gigantic. Enormous. A creature that seemed to be made of nothing but teeth and blades and destruction. It was like a 20 horkmajir glued together and given dragon wings. It was ripping the house apart with unbelievable power. The noise was terrifying. The scream of ripping wood. The shattering crunch of concrete being torn up. Just torn like it was nothing. Pipe bending, wires sizzling and popping as they exploded in a shower of sparks. Look out! I yelled to Axe with my now human voice. Beams were falling around us. Splinters were flying through the air. I barely noticed that I had finished morphing. I was human again. Somehow, Axe had kept his concentration and was fully in his human morph. We were defenseless. No, we were defenseless. Strike me down with all your hatred. Give in to your anger.
Shame on you.
Two kids without a weapon between us. Above our heads, where there had been a house just seconds before, the beast hovered in the sun. It looked down at us with a dozen weird eyes that seemed to be struck here and there at random. It stared at us the way I'd seen Tobias stare at his prey. It was going to destroy us. There was no question in my mind, and no question that it could. Oh, man, I moaned. I don't like this. Then the eyes all flickered at once. The beast seemed uncertain. And to my utter relief and amazement, the thing began to disperse. He became dust again, just a cloud of dust that thinned and disappeared. I was shaking so badly I couldn't stand up. But I was alive.
It's kind of a long excerpt.
Talk about surviving a deadly crush beast.
Scar.
Yeah. A crush beast?
Hey, I just made up a name. We haven't heard anything yet.
I'd like to thank Kyle Meckling for improvising me a mic, because that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. It's what I do.
I can improvise a mic. A-doom, 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 a-doom.
I turned him off.
I turned us all off, actually.
Mike, doom, doom.
Shame on you. I don't understand.
Mike.
I can't. Yeah. But
if your name is Mike, please call in.
Yeah, apparently.
If your name is not Mike,
please call in.
If you don't have a name, please call in.
If your name's Fred, don't call in.
Unless, of course, your name is Fred, and then you should call in.
Or Frederick?
Yeah.
But Frederick, no.
No Frederick. We're very exclusive on this show.
Extremely.
Who's doing what? I think it's a... it's a Rachel chapter.
It's Laura's turn.
Chapter
this
six.
One goes out to all the home slices and mailing. What?
What?
I don't know.
I woke up. I was on my back, lying on a bed of pine needles and crispy dried leaves.
A bed.
I was staring up at trees, and the sun shone through the branches.
Shine.
My first thought was, what am I doing here? I had no idea how I had gotten to these woods, or even what woods these were. What am I doing here? I started to say out loud, but the words were garbled and mangled. Oh.
Garble.
They were more of a screech than actual words, and I felt a tingle of fear. What was going on? What was going on? And why was I here, and why couldn't I talk? I shouldn't be here. I should be... Where?
Somewhere else.
Where should I be? I tried to concentrate. How had
it's
I come here?
Wrong.
And where was I before? Where did I belong? But nothing came. Nothing. I couldn't remember how I'd gotten there. I couldn't remember where I had been. Ever. Suddenly, it hit me in a wave of dread that made my heart skip several beats.
Can you keep making me think that...
Hi, you're on Animorphs.
You did that! You!
I took a picture and he thought the flash was the ringing light. Priceless.
Moving on.
I was on the ball.
You were like fast moving. I was like, what's happening? What's happening? What's happening?
Don't take pictures.
There we go. See, it's rapid flashing.
Hi, you're on Animorphs.
The radio drama.
Uncensored.
Boo.
What?
Oh my god. It's so scary.
Are you booing the show or are you just trying to scare us?
Because we don't scare easily, my friend.
Okay.
This is awkward silence call. Hello, awkward science.
Pretty sweetness, I guess, so not really, but technically you guys are rocking. Bye.
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 I love how Joe tries to change his voice so that we can't tell it's him. And the people in the background try and get really quiet so we can't tell they're still in Kenna.
But moving on.
Moving along.
It hit me with a wave of dread that made my heart skip several beats. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know my own name. I tried to sit up, and that's when I saw. Ah! I screamed in a weird, high-pitched
scream. I still thought that was a phone.
Kyle,
oh, I hate you.
Kyle, I need some press release music.
No, you don't.
I need press release.
Phone call.
Hi, you're on Animorphs.
The radio drama.
Uncensored.
Still. You can start talking now. But they're still trying to be quiet in the background. Shh.
No, you're an idiot. Walking down the
street. Did somebody call us in their pocket? Yes, they did.
Okay. Thank you, someone's pocket.
Okay, fine. Go.
My legs. They were encased in a black leotard. And I could see that the upper half of each leg was shaped like a normal human leg, but the end...
Phone's ringing, dude.
You're on Animorphs, the radio drama Uncensored. How may I direct your call?
Did that ring?
Yes, it did.
Oh my god!
So close.
Ah, priceless. What's worse is this is going to go down for all time on our website as when Joe couldn't work a phone. Phone's ringing, dude.
You're on Animorphs. You're on Animorphs, the radio drama, Uncensored.
Answer the dang...
Joe!
Joe, talk to us! Joe Corner, talk to us! You're in the background! It's like Poltergeist, the people are in the static!
What?
Shh, listen! You can almost hear their soul.
Let's try to have a conversation with them.
Oh my gosh! Okay.
Go.
Finish the chapter.
But the end? The bottom half suddenly changed shape, and from the bottom of the leotard, huge talons appeared. I looked at my hand. Five fingers. Five human fingers, but they sprouted with feathers. There were feathers sticking out of my flesh. I felt my face, skin on my cheeks and my neck, but then my bristling feathered fingers felt my mouth. It was a beak, a hard, tearing beak.
Oh my god.
It was a nightmare. That
oh
was
my
it.
God.
I was having a nightmare. I had to wake up. I had to get out of this dream. We had to answer the phone.
You're on Animorphs, the freaking radio drama. Start talking, please.
Hey, CJ, it's Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Hey, I just want to say you guys are doing a great job so far, and that Tongue is really going to hate the modern algebra when he gets around to it.
No homework in
Dan,
the studio.
Dan. Dan.
Sorry.
After the show, we're going to the Cove. I have real cheese in my fridge. If you grab it, if you grab it and a knife, we can make cheeseburgers with real
heck
cheese.
Yes, I'm coming.
Can
Sweet.
I have some too?
Yes.
Yeah.
Kyle,
okay,
you can't
cool.
have any.
I'll see you guys after the show.
All right, bye, Dan.
Bye, Dan.
Bye.
This is a great place to start my chapter up again. So I'm talking about my nightmare, and then I go, ah! Scream again. And the unhuman sound of my own voice frightened me still more.
She has an unhuman sound.
I had to control the panic.
Nothing.
I had to. But my legs and my face and my hands? Don't panic, I ordered myself. You will not panic. This isn't real. and yet I could feel the pine needles beneath me, and the warmth of the sun as it lanced through the branches. It all felt real.
The sun lanced through the branches.
Dude, that was a moment.
That was an awesome lance, though. Oh. Phone's ringing. Oh, my gosh.
You're on Animorphs.
The radio drama.
Censored.
My residents grabbed my phone and started calling, and I think they called you guys at the delinquency of Joe Coulter. So I thought I would just call and say that they all really loved it and were really excited and laughed a lot and are delinquents, but I love them.
Okay.
Sweet. How many were there? 50?
What? How many were there? There was about 17 to 20.
Fantastic.
Times 1.5.
Exactly.
Is this Joe Carter?
Exactly. I have 0.5 residents.
No.
Yes.
This is? Okay.
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
Got it.
Okay. Good.
Well, good. Enjoy the rest of your guys' show.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, Joe.
Bye.
Yay, they finally talked.
Hooray! Was this how I always was? Was I some sort of freak? Half bird and half human? No, I knew that was wrong. And I knew that people didn't become birds. And yet here I was, with feathers and a beak and no memory of who I was. I looked like some horrible creature was halfway through changing from bird to human.
You are beautiful the way you are.
The other way around. Was that it? Had I been in the process of changing from one to the other? And which one was I really? Who was I?
A bird with an identity crisis.
What was I?
Bird brain.
An identity
crisis.
Come
on, I ordered myself. Get a grip. Get a grip. But I could feel screams boiling up inside me.
Uh-oh.
I could scream and scream and scream.
Oh, here it goes.
No, no. Start that and you may never stop, I thought. Use your head and think. I strained to remember, but it was as if half my brain were wrapped in a dense fog. I couldn't see through it no matter how I tried.
Think,
you're a human,
think,
I told myself silently.
Stop.
You're human, not a bird. And if you could change this far, maybe you can change more. I closed my eyes. I wanted to concentrate, and I did not want to see my body. Terror rattled through me, shaking my bones, turning my insides. I was human. I wanted to be fully human. Human again. Then, I began to feel changes. I opened my eyes. As I watched, the talons shriveled and split and became toes. It was revolting to watch. It made me sick. But then I realized something. As soon as I lost concentration, the changes stopped. It had to be it. I must have been changing and something had broken my concentration. I couldn't stay the way I was. I was a nightmare, and I had to get out. I felt a shadow over the sun.
Shadow.
I thought it was a passing cloud.
No longer lands.
I couldn't let myself be distracted. I focused down again. Human. I wanted to be human. I felt the feathers melt into my skin. I felt the beak become soft lips. The sun was very dim now. Something was blocking it. I felt the chill.
I found
up.
A button.
Just above the trees, a cloud of dust swirled wildly, like some flattened tornado, swirled and concentrated. A dust cloud. But not a dust cloud, really. As I lay there, I had a terrible feeling. A feeling that the swirling, thickening cloud was watching me, considering me, focusing on me. But I could not allow myself to be distracted. I was still not fully human. And I wanted to be human again. Maybe. Maybe once I was human, I would remember who I was.
Cool. That was the end of the
okay.
chapter. We didn't really...
Give me the music.
This just in, straight from the mouth of
it's done.
What?
Welcome to Animorphs, the Radio Drama News Center. I'm your host, CJ Hanley. This just in, breaking news from Animorphs writer, K.A. Applegate. When asked about whether there would be an Animorphs film in the near future, she replied, "There is a reasonably serious move underway to do a big-budget Animorphs movie. By that, we mean that a producer has contacted us and let us know that he would be pitching the idea to the studios. As soon as the WGA strike is over, the producers are serious guys. The studios they are going after are people who could actually pull it off, but right now it's still probably a 20-to-1 shot. Keep your fingers crossed. I'll say this. The producer is a serious Anna fan."
Was there a political mention in there? Like the Writers Guild?
Yeah.
Yeah. You see, the nice thing about radio is... Actually, I don't know. But the nice thing about our show is...
We don't need a friggin' writers! Actually.
All our materials.
Straight up, man.
All our materials are already written.
Yeah.
So...
Except it's not.
We can do nothing but benefit from this writer's strike. Actually, I completely support the writers and what they're doing. And...
Go, writers!
Yeah. Let's represent.
Wait, a writer's strike?
Moment of silence for the writer's solidarity. You just cannot be silent.
Do you need some water, Kyle?
No, I'm okay. How long is this moment of silence?
I don't know. As soon as you start it.
Oh.
So, shall we continue?
Yes.
All right.
No one ever takes me seriously.
Why would they? I mean, honestly. Stall. Don't talk about stalling, CJ.
So I took a nap today.
Generally happens over the
it was awesome.
Angle of attack when it increases over
and what was really cool was that I didn't have to spend any time with CJ while I was asleep. It was good.
And then I woke you up. Oh, because I forgot about this. This is a good one.
Yeah. Chapter 7, Tobias. I have seen a lot of strange things since that first evening when we walked through the construction site where the Andalite prince had landed his damaged fighter. Back then, I was just a kid, a boy, a dork, I guess. It's getting hard to remember.
Ringing, dude.
You're on Animorphs, the radio drama uncensored.
Still. Come on, you can do it.
My days are always filled with wonderment and joy, because I don't have to spend them with CJ either.
Cool.
Bye.
So you talk this time. Way to go.
I always talk.
Uh-huh.
Except for those times that you did.
And now I'm listening to myself. All right, bye.
Was that Narcissus?
Yes. What?
Narcissus. He's the guy on which the word narcissism is based.
Oh.
Do you know what the word narcissism means, Kyle?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I don't need to explain to you.
No, but I mean some of the listeners might not know that means.
Well, Narcissus was he found this stream, this lake.
Yeah,
and
that's what I was gonna say.
Put it in Animorph terms.
His lake.
Uh-huh.
He found a magical reflective force.
I was gonna say that.
That looked like water and was in fact a lake.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, wow.
Sounds about right.
I'm so pretty. I mean, I'm too sexy for my shirt, kind of a deal.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
no
that,
sexism.
That's how he was. Yeah. That Narcissus,
yeah.
Oh,
phone's ringing, dude.
Okay.
You're on Animorphs, the radio drama. Now you're on Animorphs, the radio drama. On
just to let you know, Kyle, you have a puzzle date with Major and Joe Coulter at 12:15 in his room. We're doing a 1,000-piece puzzle done tonight, and you need to choose the movie. What movie do you want to watch?
I'll choose later when I'm not on the air.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. Dude, that's awesome. I just got asked out over the air.
On a date with two men.
With my boss. Weird.
Wow, isn't that, like, illegal?
And now we have a moment of silence? Are we serious? Come on, I'm blushing here.
So, yeah, Narcissus.
Wonderful.
He was like, wow, I'm so pretty. And he spent so long looking at his reflection that he turned into a flower.
Wow.
So he could look at it all the time. And so narcissism is this constant self-interest.
Uh-huh.
And I've completely forgotten why I'm explaining this story.
Because I didn't know what it meant. I mean, listeners.
Why did I bring it up?
Listeners didn't know what it meant. Joe.
Oh, you know what else
I have seen
bring up?
What?
You're listening to KDUP.
KDUP.
Or online at kdup.up.edu.
You can call us tonight at 503-943-7121. That's
503-943-7121.
You can reach us also at extension
7121.
Yeah.
If you're lazy and don't want to hit the other 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 digit.
Oh, hey, we have something else to discuss.
What?
Where'd it go?
What?
Hey,
took it away.
Oh.
We knew you'd want to discuss it.
Well, I guess we won't then.
Yeah. Continue.
Oh, it's right there.
A dork, I guess.
Come on.
It's getting hard to remember. But yeah, I guess I was a dweeb. I remember that I met Jake because he stepped in to save me for some punks who wanted to flush my head in the toilet. Well, a lot has changed since then. For example, now I can just fit my entire body into the toilet. I've gotten so I can deal with being what I am now. I've accepted the fact that I am no longer completely human, but I'm not completely a hawk either. Trust me, he hasn't. This is what all of his books cover.
Yeah.
Like I said, I've seen strange things.
But nothing stranger than what I saw that morning as I floated in the high thermals a mile above Darlene's house. See, I was flying cover. It's one of the ways I'm able to help my friends. Marco hadn't asked me to fly cover for his idiotic little escapade, but I figured I'd better. But I figured I'd better. Besides, I'd already eaten a small snake, an unusual delicacy for me. Snake. I had nothing else to do, really, but catch a thermal and ride it up. Oh. A thermal is a warm-up draft, or a thermal is an updraft of warm air. You spread your wings and it lifts you up like an elevator. Once you're up, you can just float there forever. You barely have to flap your wings.
Ding.
So I was up pretty high.
High enough that I could
see everything from the edge of the woods to the south, all the way to the center of the city a few miles away. But I stayed low enough that I could still watch Marco and Axe morph. They ran around like fools till they got a grip on their mouse brains.
Fools.
Then, as they gained control, they set off purposefully.
Ew.
And suddenly he's British. Toward Darlene's house. Marco is an extremely smart guy. I don't know if Axe is smart for Nanolite, but he's really smart by human standards.
Ew.
Neither of them really understood how dangerous it is to be a mouse walking openly across the suburban lawn in broad daylight. I mean, you might as well just tie raw stakes to your legs and go for a walk with a wolf pack. Hawks kill mice. Cats kill mice. And let me tell you something. Two groups of animals you don't want chasing you are hawks and cats. Or hawk cats. Little tiny griffin-like creatures. Vicious. From the air, I observed one fat tabby cat who spotted them going by. But I guess he was full or just feeling too lazy lying out in the sun. The cat let them pass undisturbed. I also spotted a Cooper's hawk checking them out. He was definitely thinking about mouse for lunch. I signaled the Coopers that these were my prey, and he backed off. Fortunately, I was bigger than he was, and he wasn't hungry enough to fight. I watched as Marco and Axe reached Darlene's pool party. I relaxed then. If they didn't get stepped on, they'd probably be safe. Still, watching the party made me a little sad. People seemed to be having a good time. Kids were splashing in the pool and running around and yelling and talking. It was a whole different universe than the one I lived in. I had the other Animorphs and Axe for friends, but I didn't have friends like myself.
Stupid jungle, I want to bite someone in the face.
Hawks don't get together and have parties, except for tea parties, every other Sunday. Mostly when you see another hawk,
here,
it means...
Here, you want some tea?
How can I have some more if I haven't had any yet? Mostly when you see another hawk, it means trouble, a fight for territory. Down below, I saw Marco chasing some girl.
Round one. Fight!
Good grief, I thought. Why am I not surprised? The girl ran inside the house. Marco and Axe ran after her, trailing a posse of guys, one of whom was clearly Jake, one of whom could have been Jake, but I wasn't sure. Then I began to see something bizarre, a dust storm. That's what it looked like, anyway. Like one of those little dust devils that kick up into the desert or prairie. Swirled like a compact tornado. I was fascinated because the wind is very important. Wind is life and death to me sometimes.
There's a certain point where you're just trying to make people's ears bleed.
That's what that animal thing does.
Right, but people don't pay for animals to... My point is, stop.
Please.
No, please.
Wind is life... Okay, just do it.
Stop.
Wind is life and death to me sometimes. The tornado was getting tighter, more solid. I strained my hawk eyes to see every detail. I spilled air from my wings and slooped lower to get a better view. And then, it wasn't a dust cloud anymore. It was a creature, a beast made of gnashing mouths and whirling blades. It dived at the house, ripping it apart like it was made out of Legos.
Dive, dive, dive.
It seemed to be chewing its way through brick and wood and shingle.
Oh my gosh.
It's like watching a garbage disposal grind up a carrot.
Don't try to do that. There's a reason that your garbage... disposal is hidden from your view.
Because it's gross.
And it's dangerous.
And it throws things at people.
Beware the garbage disposal.
Beware of the garbage.
Beware of the grim. The garbage disposal.
Woo!
Kids were screaming. They were running wildly this way and that. Suddenly half the house was gone. Just gone. And I could see straight down into the basement. Straight down at Marco, human once more, and Axe in his human morph. I folded my wings back and dived like a rocket. Maybe I could distract the beast. Then, for no apparent reason, the beast began to dissolve. I pulled up sharply, still a few hundred feet up. I could see Marco practically faint from relief. Axe didn't look too happy either. but they were both alive, and Jake and Cassie both were staring up at the sky in horror. The dust beast dissolved into a cloud again. A human eye would not have seen anything after that, but I didn't have human eyes. I saw the dust cloud disperse, but I also saw the individual particles streaming away toward the forest.
Particles!
Particle Man.
I actually have that.
Wow.
It's a good song.
Do you know what they're talking about?
Not a clue.
They might be giant song. The particles were moving at an incredible speed. They were not being blown by the wind. I was sure of that. They were moving all on their own, very fast.
Towards the woods.
Dum dum dum.
Chapter 8.
You're still listening to Animorphs Radio Drama Uncensored, by the way. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Rachel. Human. Be human. I focused with all my power on that one thought. I squeezed my eyes shut and tried to remember who I was and what I looked like. I felt my body change. It was a horrifying sensation. I could hear bones crunching. I could feel a sudden nausea as a human stomach reappeared. I seemed to itch all over as flesh absorbed feathers. Had I done this before?
No, wait, you gotta get my new gym, look.
Kyle's still in here taking pictures.
And I thought it was the phone again.
Had I done this before? It didn't seem possible. It was disgusting. Grotesque. I opened my eyes. Right above me? What was it? Mouths with needle-sharp teeth and staring eyes? Whirling blades? It was after me!
Speaking of grotesque things...
What?
There's somebody here that apparently fell asleep listening to Animorphs, the radio drama.
And had dreams about us? Weird.
We're on late.
I'm just saying.
We're on late.
Animorphs, late night radio.
Borderline.
Should I fly? Should I run? What was I? I leapt up, hoping I had legs. Yes, I could run. Yes, I ran. I ran. My own bare feet flashed ahead of me.
No, it's Finding Nemo is what this is from, not Iraq.
Lemony Snicket in the series of unfortunate events.
Oh. That's what I said.
Yeah.
My bare feet flashed ahead of me. Human feet.
Same composer, though.
My arms pumped, but they still felt odd.
The bones were connected
wrong. I ran over pine needles that stabbed the tender soles of my feet.
Ouch.
It was behind me.
Oh, wait, no, I know what it is. No, not that. It's not your sound. It's not your sound. Stop it. Bleeding ears, CJ. Bleeding.
It was behind me. It chewed through a tree 4 feet thick, chewed it up and left splinters and sawdust behind. No, I screamed, and my voice was almost human. No! No! It was after me. Wait. It wanted to kill me. But why? Why? What had I done? Who was I that this monster wanted to destroy me? I raced as fast as I could, but it was faster. Entire trees were ripped from the ground to make way for it. The very ground itself was ripped up as if by some huge cloud. The shrieking of destruction was all around me. What was happening to me? Help me, I screamed. Now my voice was truly human. The last of the changes were occurring, and my arms hung smoothly now. My eyes looked past a normal human nose. The beak was gone, but the beast. The beast, it was on me, and suddenly a road! Cars flashing by. I ran to the road.
Hear. Frank, stop him! Thank you.
Moment, CJ. I ran for the road, but the beast
stop
was
having things.
Ripping a path through the woods. Cars were zooming past. If I ran out into the road, they would hit me. If I stopped, the beast would devour me. I ran. Cars shot. It missed me by inches. Six lanes of freeway. I ran, hoping against hope to survive. Horns, blaring horns, a truck, the beast. I hit the truck, or the truck hit it. I don't know which. The cabin of the truck was crumpled. I caught a flash of the driver yelling, frantically working the steering wheel.
Oh my god, what the?
Then the trailer part, the part that said Ben and Jerry's, slammed into the dust beast. Screeching, screaming wheels, and then... I tripped and went sprawling into the median strip. I rolled down a grassy slope into dirty water. I looked up in time to see the truck turn over and skid wildly down the freeway, spraying sparks. The beast shredded the trailer. Shredded it. Pints of ice cream exploded like hand grenades. In the middle of terror, I was pelted by pints of Cherry Garcia and wavy gravy ice cream. The beast rose from the truck. The driver climbed up out of the cab and ran. As the beast rose into the air, 100 manic eyes looked around. It saw me. There was no doubt about that. It saw me.
Voldemort.
But the eyes looked confused. They seemed lost. The beast saw me, but it didn't recognize me. Suddenly, as I cowered in the ditch of the median strip, the beast suddenly dissolved into a cloud of dust. dissolved and blew away. Traffic had stopped on all six lanes as people hung out their windows to witness the spectacle of a tractor trailer lying across the road. I climbed shakily out of the ditch. I was trembling so badly I could barely stand. I was muddy and wet and barefoot, wearing a black leotard. I stumbled across the road toward the sheltering woods. A man with a camcorder emerged from his car and began taping the wreck. From far off came the wail of a siren. I just wanted to get away, whoever I was.
So from far away.
Chapter 9. Cassie.
Round 2.
Oh, we have to finish this CD song, this play shelf song, which have I can't done, actually say the name of.
Have we done our PSAs yet?
No.
We're going to take a quick break here.
The
Radio Drama Uncensored will be back.
I got them!
In hopefully less than 5 minutes, and we'll finish up the last half an hour, or last 50 minutes with some awesome radio.
Like the weird back.
You're listening to Animorphs, the Radio Drama Uncensored. Waiting for the PSAs.
It didn't go.
Animorphs.
And we're back.
Again.
You thought you were rid of us, but you were wrong.
Now, one more chapter here. Chapter 9, Miss Cassie.
This is you, dude.
Oh. Tornado my butt.
Mark that said could, angrily. CJ.
That thing was alive.
We were watching TV in my living room. Jake, Marco, Axe, and his human morph, and me, Cassie. It was afternoon. My parents weren't home yet, so we were safe, talking freely. The news was doing a special report. They had broken into a talk show to show film of what they described as a freak tornado. They were describing what was left of Darlene's house. The reporter was standing right where we'd had the pool party. You could see Darlene in the background with her parents, picking through the wreckage.
The storm hit late this morning, just before noon,
the reporter said.
Some young people who were having a pool party, and they describe a sort of funnel cloud that appeared quite suddenly out of a clear sky. Some of the kids who were here actually described it as being seeming like a monster or a beast, but of course they were quite frightened at the time. They were frightened, all right. They were wetting their pants, I know,
Marco muttered.
The house was virtually destroyed.
The reporter went on.
Almost miraculously, there were only some minor injuries. A few of the kids suffered abrasions and minor cuts. The house itself was fully insured. Well, that's a good thing.
Marco said dryly.
Because we're talking a lot more than a paint job needed there. Now let's go out to the freeway where the same tornado, or possibly a second tornado, destroyed a tractor trailer, holding up traffic for hours.
The screen showed a Ben and Jerry's ice cream truck that looked like it had been blown apart by a bomb. And suddenly, I saw something familiar.
Hey, look!
Hey, look, I said.
Oopsies.
What?
Jake asked. It's gone now, I said.
I read the eye, so
are we taping this?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Marco said.
What is it?
Back the tape up. Back it up. Marco reversed the VCR tape. I watched as the camera panned back across the wreck, and then, right there, I said. That girl, see? She's only in the shot for a second. Can you freeze frame her?
Why?
Jake asked.
What is it?
Marco rewound, then advanced the tape a frame at a time. A blurry figure appeared. The frame froze.
You know this is old because they would really be using TiVo.
That's you, dude.
That's your line.
What is the matter?
Axe asked.
Matter.
Axe can be odd when he's in human morph. Having a mouth and being able to make sounds just fascinates him. Look at that girl, I said. Tall, blonde hair, barefoot, wearing a black leotard.
My God, she's put it together.
Jake's eyes widened in shocked recognition. So did Marco's.
Oh my God!
Marco whispered.
It is! It's Rachel, it has to be.
She must have just come out of a morph, I said. That's her morphing suit, and being barefoot and all. You see, when we morph, we can't morph much clothing, just something skin tight.
Isn't that convenient?
And shoes?
Sorry, my bad.
What?
No,
he's
just
the one that whistled.
Whatever.
Don't point fingers at me, guys. If we have time at the end, we'll address this, okay?
And
fight
shoes?
To the death.
Forget
I
shoes.
Said
I've tried morphing shoes. They end up looking like an entire pack of dogs play tug of war with them.
Because it's a girl.
I just talk over Laura.
Dang it, I totally lost.
What is Rachel doing out there?
Jake demanded.
She's supposed to be up in the mountains at that... in the mountains at that camp.
You know what this means?
Marco demanded.
That thing that came after Axe and me was also right where Rachel was. Coincidence? I don't think so.
Jake shook his head.
No, not a coincidence.
He looked at Axe.
Do you know what this is?
No.
Axe said.
I do not. It is not any race I have ever heard of, but I agree, Colin. It is no coincidence. Coincidence. Coincidence.
Well, what is it?
Marco demanded angrily.
It's your line, Laura.
Really? Okay. Tobias told us that it headed toward the forest at a very high speed. Oh, I said, got it. It was heading for Rachel. The timing is right. The location is right. It attacked Marco and Axe, but then it stopped and went tearing off for Rachel.
Why? What is the point? If it's some Yerk weapon, it should have finished us off. I mean, it had Axe and me cold.
We need to talk to Rachel,
Jake said.
Cassie?
I'll call. I went to the phone, the one in the kitchen. Beep, boop, boop, beep. I dialed Rachel's beep, number.
Oh, right, because we all know what Cassie's house is, you know? And, like, she's got the phone in the kitchen and then the other one upstairs. Because she has an upstairs, right? You know? That's yeah. Public knowledge. Why was it necessary to say the one in the kitchen? Like,
because it adds depth to the confusion.
And then you guys can't hear what I'm saying to Rachel.
Pick up the phone.
So I dialed Rachel's number. I've probably dialed that number every day for years. On the third ring. Hello?
I don't think
Hi, Jordan. Jordan is Rachel's younger sister. Is Rachel home?
You're horrible.
Duh, what? Cassie. She's at the gymnastics thing. The camp. I felt it tingling up my spine. So she did go? Well, sure. She didn't come back early or anything? No. Why? Something the matter? Nah, nothing. I was just thinking maybe... Never mind. Later. I hung up the phone and took several deep breaths. I didn't want to alarm the others.
Hang up the phone!
I went back to the living room. Marco was still yelling at the guy on the TV.
It isn't a tornado! Are people blind? A tornado does not have teeth!
Jake saw me first.
Sorry.
I tried to conceal the fear I felt inside, but I can't hide anything from Jake. He knows me too well.
Oh my gosh!
What is it?
He asked. Rachel, she isn't home. They think she's at the camp. Jake, Marco, and Axe all just stared for a moment. Then Marco rewound the tape and played it back. Tall, blonde, a model's body, wearing a black leotard and no shoes. It was Rachel. She was definitely not at camp.
Well, Toto, we're definitely not in Kansas anymore.
Not in Kansas anymore.
We've come to a crossroads. We have 10 minutes left.
How long is the Rachel minutes. Chapter?
I think the Rachel chapter is pretty substantial. Yeah,
shoot.
I would like to address those concerns, but also we have a girl here.
What?
And it's a long Rachel.
So crucial.
Chapter.
What?
Crucial? As in we go for it?
No, as in Christine isn't here.
Oh, as in we.
Yeah, no,
it.
We can't read this one. We can't read this one.
So what are we gonna do for 10 minutes? We can't just BS, right?
Well, we can.
Ooh, we could ask for callers. Hello, callers.
We can read the note.
What note? We have
a
note?
A note.
Oh, I don't want to read that note. It's like awkward. That note's awkward. I'm serious.
Could you pull up the KDUP website for me, please?
KDUP website?
KDUP website. Meanwhile,
okay.
I'm going to read the awkward.
http://kdup.edu.
I'm kind of embarrassed by this because...
Was it you who called?
No. I'm embarrassed because, you know, the KDUP, all shows are treated equally. And we would really, you know, our show is no better than anyone else's show.
Their no, it's show, just worse.
Yeah, their show is no better than our show. Well, no, their show is no worse than our show. I don't know. They're all equal, you know. It's all equal.
I don't understand where you're going. Keep going.
Quality. But somebody called in to the radio station.
A lot of people call in.
During not our show. I understand how this can be confusing because we always tell you you're listening to KDUP, but we don't actually have a show when we're not on the air. So if you're going to...
going to call in.
Call in.
And you suddenly realize that it's not our show. It's live to the DJs so that they don't feel bad. But, dude, there are lots of totally cool shows. Could you pull up the station schedule?
Okay. Okay, I got
that
it.
That button. No, not that one. Not that one! Don't press that button!
Try,
You're not even looking at the computer!
Try retractable antenna. Because it says here,
Where?
That the DJ who wrote this note is DJ Doctor Who.
Doctor Who?
Yeah, no, apparently this program has no DJs.
No, you gotta look down.
What?
What? I'm not sure. Try... Look for a...
Wow, this is gonna take 10 minutes.
What?
Anyway.
So, Laura, how did you enjoy your stay?
Actually, I was gonna have Laura...
Oh! You are not... Okay, fine.
Well, because you haven't talked much.
Let's make her read the awkward one.
You're me the awkward note. That's really great of you guys. Be. Thanks.
Tact of a Cynic. Maybe that one. No, that one doesn't have any DJs either.
I'm going to turn you off.
We have the first-time guest and never a second-time guest. Okay. So, ready for the note?
Are you ready for the note?
The note reads, Animorphs Guys. A caller called during our show, parentheses, audio bipolar, and parentheses.
There. Hello. They give us the name of the show.
You hear that, DJ? Audio bipolar.
There it is.
Resume,
no. Got it.
And was asking some weird questions. He wanted to know if you, named Animorphs Guys, if you read Animorphs for underlined sexual reasons. I didn't know what to say, so I told him to call back on your show. He said he'd call, so be prepared. Signed, DJ Doctor Who.
Yep. Doctor Who?
And then, don't bother with the real name. And there's another note.
There's another note on the bottom that says, P.S. Underline, do you guys read Animorphs for sexual reasons? I mean, that's cool, I guess. But, ..
Well,
Now let's think about this, because define sexual reasons.
DJ Colin Powell.
Well, first of all, listen to DJ Doctor Who and DJ Colin Powell and their show.
Audio Bipolar. On Sunday from 3 to
5. I said bipolar!
3 to 5 on Sundays. You know, just tune into KDUP all the time. I'm the web tech, and I would not be happier than if there were problems with the web because too many people were listening.
Yeah.
Boot.
Boot.
So, Laura, I know I forced you to read that note.
Now you're going to force me to answer the question.
I was going to have you address it.
Somebody who's joined the show for a day, you know, just to see how we operate,
did
do we
you
do
join
this
the
for,
show
sexual
for sexual
reasons?
I most assuredly did not.
Yes!
And
okay, that's one out of four.
That was ever up for question.
CJ?
What sexual You're means?
Good answer. Oh, definitely.
Matt?
They saw my face. It's my I'm going to talk face.
It totally is.
So, if by sexual reasons you mean the tension between the male and female, or male and female and hawk characters in the book, then yes, that was totally our intent, was to
exploit the tension, yes.
Yes, to highlight the undercurrents, well, the overcurrents, between Jake and Cassie, between Rachel and Tobias, and between Marco
with
and
sounds such
no
as
one.
And and
and we just absolutely loved the books when we were kids. Probably not because of all the boy girl touchy feely stuff.
But yeah,
it's just freaking hilarious.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, KA slipped under the radar when you're little, and then you grow up and you're like, I'm gonna read this book again, and you're like, oh wow.
Explains a lot more about what I. Never mind. That's not going anywhere good.
Nope.
Your mic here. Talk into it. It's all yours now.
Stop spitting on Matt.
It's so fun though.
Anyway,
that's why I do the show. So really, the question comes down to though, it's this show isn't about us. It's about the listeners.
No, it's about the listeners.
And if the listeners listen to this show for sexual reasons, it's kind of creepy. But you know what? It's America.
And America's strong.
But that would still be creepy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, just a little. This is one of those things that I'm guessing that somebody called in, found out they were on the wrong show, and they were like, well, might as well say something awful. Let's go with it.
Yeah.
That's why we didn't get a phone call where they were like,
You guys? Do you read Animorphs for sexual reasons? Sweet. We didn't get that, did we?
No.
Unless it was Joe.
Which one?
God, it could have been Joe. No, I'm just joking.
What if the DJs invented
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you're just joking.
What if the DJs invented the collar so that they could ask us about it and slip in that little ad for their show?
The little, like, ha ha ha. That could be. I mean, I kind of wanted it to be a goal that we advertise for other shows, you know, the camaraderie. Yeah.
Yeah. If you like Animorphs, the radio drama uncensored, I think it's Tuesdays, CJ. Look for Storytime with Timmy and Friends. Just go through the whole schedule.
Oh, there's another good one on Sunday nights that's going to be good, too.
I think it's Thursday.
Thursday nights? Oh, yeah, no, it's on Thursday nights.
No, Thursday afternoons.
Thursday afternoons from 12 to 2. Okay. Thursday, some friends of ours decided that they would take these are the theologian friends of ours.
Yeah, they
decided
call that
they were
going to
make their own radio show too, and this is highly recommended. Both of these folks were my old roommates, so you know what you're getting yourself into. This is by DJs Jerome and Athanasius.
Athanasius?
I don't know
he's
how he's pronounced.
He's a saint, Kyle. Gosh,
yeah.
What kind of a Catholic are you?
Anyway,
horrible one. Everyone knows that.
This is, the genre is theology / religion with a respectfully, and then we don't have any.
with a respectfully.
Yeah. And it's called The Mean Saints, Some Things Considered. All things considered except, yeah, it's witty. Anyways, an electrifying...
Trust us, it's witty.
And an electrifying flying ride with a theological spin. Interviews with famous dead theologians, saint of the day, and more. Theology has never been this much fun.
Oh, that's
I'm totally listening, even
Good
though
day.
I have class.
What time?
That's 12 to 2.
On what
on
day now?
On Thursday.
Perfect.
So
noon?
No, 12 to 2. So we're in class for a little bit of that, but... No.
But yes, noon.
We are in class during that.
Well, yeah, we have our meeting.
Maybe they'll record
always
it.
Always change it.
Yeah, we could. Because I wouldn't listen to that.
Yeah, we could record it. We record our show.
Oh, yeah, we can record theirs.
Anyway, we're getting close to time to, cutting CJ off.
The real thing we wanted to stress was the fact that
we
don't do our show for sexual reasons. They do their show for sexual reasons.
Wait, who?
Nobody.
Sundays.
They,
from 6
right.
to 7.
The theologians?
No. Yes.
Maybe. I'm so confused. Anyway.
Okay. If you like Animorphs, Sundays from 6 to 7, there's a show called Storytime with Timmy and Friends where they're going to be reading screenplays for movies like Indiana Jones, Jurassic Park, other classic films. Could be fun. Check it out.
It's kind of like our show, except probably a little more serious because it's Jurassic Park, Indiana Jones, and other such.
We also have another thing, though. This is the official radio station now of the Cove.
It is.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it's in there.
And I like to think that we're the unofficial official radio station, radio show.
Yeah, of the Cove. Along with public safety and, yes, the world.
So, we just like to do a shout-out to all those workers in the Cove right now that are going to be stuck up.
Backfired.
Not stuck, but like stuck staying up.
Ah.
Until like 3 in the morning.
Yeah. Good cover.
I hope you enjoy the sleep that you get when you finally get it.
Yes, because we won't. I have to make a puzzle.
And apparently I have more work that I need to get done.
And apparently I have to play 2 PSAs,
so... Oh, yeah, we got to play 2 PSAs, so we're going to play 2 PSAs before we completely
cut you
sign
off.
Everyone say hi and bye to Laura. Hopefully we'll have her back. Yeah.
It was wonderful. Thanks for listening. Have a great night.
Oh, wait, which button?
Yes.
Would you like to thank the Academy or anything like that?
You know, actually, I would like to thank the first and eighth floor mailing girls.
Woo!
Yeah.
And those people from Kenna and Kirstie.
Yeah. Cool, oh, yeah. Those guys are great. Even though hey, there's a shout.
Stop! No! 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 No!
Press the button! Press the button!
Which button?
Your PSA button!
Oh, wait,
go,
wait,
go,
wait,
go,
wait,
go,
wait,
go,
wait, wait,
wait,
wait, wait. You're on Animorphs, the radio drama.
Almost over.
Uncensored. Oh, so close.
I hate the Phantom Caller. Right. I want him to die.
All right, PSAs, and then, I don't know.
Yeah. We're probably done.
Don't push so many buttons, CJ.
The Public Safety Department would like to remind you that...